four major characters in the Bible and what they had to be thankful for, and make application to our own life, what we have to be thankful for. I hope it'll be a good reflection. Before I do that, I was reading some old things, and I came across a little story about a Texan that went to New York. And I could identify with that. I'm from New York. And he was just bragging about everything was big in Texas. You know, the cows have horns this wide. You have just little, you know, teeny horns on your cows. And our cattle aren't just a couple hundred in a field. We have thousands in a field. And our fields aren't a few acres. They're 20,000 acres. And everything's big in Texas. And we all say, amen, we know that. But finally, this New York guy said, I'm just tired of this. So he said, well, let me just take and show you some things. So he drove him up to northern New York, and he went up to the place where they have all the ski slopes in the Adirondacks, and he said, what do you think about these mountains? He said, oh, those are mountains? I thought those were just little hills. He said, we got bigger stuff like that in Texas. So they drove down to the middle of New York, and they came to what's called the Finger Lakes. He said, well, look at these. These are marvelous things that big. He said, you call these lakes? We call those tanks down in Texas. That's where you take the cows to get a little drink out in the middle of nowhere. Or they're just ponds or tanks. They said, well, what can I show you? Took them over to Buffalo, New York, and over to Niagara Falls. And the water's coming down. He could hardly hear them. And he said, do you have anything like that in Texas? He said, well, I have to admit, we don't. But we've got a plumber that could fix your leak. Genesis chapter 11 this morning, please. Genesis chapter 11. We're going to talk about the character named Abram or Abraham. Same person. His name is transferred or transmuted into the name Abraham because God blesses him, and that's part of the blessing. And when he changes his name, that refers then on to him as Abraham, the blessed one. And we'll discuss that in the message this morning. But Abraham was a wonderful character. He's known as sort of the father of the Jews, and we'll see why maybe even this morning he would get that title. Very important foundational character. But before we do preaching, let's pray together. Lord, we need you to be with us. We thank you for this day. Thank you for the extra hour of sleep, and we can be bright and alive this morning. We thank you for cool weather that's not too cold. All these wonderful blessings. But we need you, hear us right now. Be with the junior church and the beginner church. Be with the Spanish translation. Those up in the booth, those in the nursery this morning. May you watch over all these, but over our message right now. Help me to speak with authority, clarity. May you help me to get people to see why we have a lot to be thankful for, just like Abraham. And may we be able to draw it out effectively. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' precious name. And everybody said, amen. Well, as we come to chapter 11 in Genesis, a lot's happened. The world's been created in 7 days, 6 days, the seventh day God rested. We've had the Garden of Eden where man fell and God then cursed Adam and Eve and the serpent that now crawls on his belly and et cetera that goes on. And then we have the world getting so wicked. And God has to judge it in a flood. And we all know about Noah's Ark. And that ark is a picture of Jesus Christ. How then in Jesus Christ, when we run into him, we can be saved. And Jesus is our ark of salvation. But after they came out of Noah's Ark, you have different promises that are being promised. You have what's called Adam's covenant. It's shortened to be called the Adamic covenant. Then you have Noah getting a bunch of promises that God's bringing on mankind. And you follow Noah's line. It's gone through Seth, and now it goes through Noah and his children and these promises. And we come to the end of chapter 11. The people are traced name by name by name by name. And we come to Abraham. Look, if we please, at Genesis 11. I want you to see in verse 26, I'm sorry. And Terah lived 70 years and begat Abram, Nahor, and Haran. Now these are the generations of Terah. Don't get bored with this. So it says, you have a father named Terah, has three sons. One of them is Abraham. Now these are the generations of Terah. Terah begat Abram and Nahor and Haran, and Haran begat Lot. We know about Lot. He went to the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, remember that? And Haran died before his father in the land of his nativity in Ur of the Chaldees. So this is where they lived. Ur of the Chaldees, picture of the world. And Abraham and Nahor took them wives. The name of Abraham's wife was Sarai, and the name of Nahor's wife was Milcah, the daughter of Haran, the father of Milcah, and the father of Ishka. But Sarai was barren. For those younger, that means she couldn't have any children. So Abram was married to Sarai. His one brother died, his other brother married. But this line, Abram and Sarai, she is childless. She's the one is for some reason cannot, she had no child, verse 31. And Terah, that would be the grandfather or the father, took his son Abram, his son, and Lot, the son of Haran, that's the one that died, his son's son, and Sarai, his daughter-in-law, and his son Abram's wife, and they went forth with them from Ur of the Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan. And they came unto Haran and dwelt there. And the days of Terah were 205 years. And Terah, that's the father, the grandfather, he dies in Haran. So let's just sort of get our first blessing. It's not implicitly taught here, but we see that Haran, this father, has three children. And God has moved on his heart to leave the Ur of Chaldees, which pictures this worldly living, and that he's supposed to go over to Canaan, and we all know that Canaan is God's promised land, and Terah has a responsive heart toward that. The problem with Terah is twofold. One is he doesn't quite respond to God completely. He gets stuck in this little town where they live for a period of time, and it says he dies there. Now here's Abram. He's got his nephew Lot and a wife that can't have any children. And that's where we find ourselves. But the first blessing is, even though Abram may not have the most spiritual father in the world, he did have a father that knew God and explained that obviously to Abram. That's very obvious to me in this passage of scripture. You know, can I say to all of us, we don't have perfect parents. I am not a perfect parent. You aren't a perfect parent. But praise God for parents that take us toward the Lord and teach us the things of God. Do you know one of the things in our society is we live in a society where church attendance is dropping almost like a rock. People are just leaving God out. And our public sector, whether it's politics or public school education, anything, when God gets injected, there's a resistance against that. Praise God for parents that still lead their family toward God. So we could say this. Abram didn't have a perfect father. As a matter of fact, do you know what Terah actually means? It means his name was Delay. He sort of shuffled his feet in obeying the Lord. But he was following the Lord to a certain extent. And I think that's something that Abram could say, I'm thankful for. I have a daddy that knows God. You know, my dad didn't come to know Christ till just a few years before he died at 80-some years old. Oh, I wish I'd have had a daddy that taught me about Jesus. I'm thankful for those that sort of adopted me, next-door neighbors that took me to church, and they were my spiritual daddies. Who brought you to the Lord Jesus Christ? Who's your spiritual mommy and daddy? Maybe it is your father and mother. Praise God for those that take us towards God. And at this Thanksgiving, if I could challenge you to think, I challenge you to think back at those that have brought you to the Lord, they've taught you about the Lord, they've helped you to get to the Lord, they've held your feet accountable, and they remind you regularly, you need to say thank you to God. And if they're still living, you ought to pick up the phone, give them a text, you ought to write them a note, but acknowledge how thankful you are for a spiritual direction in your life as you got started. Teenagers, sometimes you don't appreciate your parents dragging you here every Sunday, Sunday school, Sunday night, Wednesday night. One day you will be thankful. One day you'll say, thank you, Mom, for that, and Dad, for family time where we got around the Bible and we talked about a big decision that was in high school or a big decision you had, and we prayed as a family and we stepped in that direction. Abraham had a dad that was somewhat like that, and he could be thankful. Could I say to you, Dad, are you a spiritual dad leading your family towards Christ? Takes a lot of work. You know, I'm a pastor, and I can remember when each one of my three children got to a place, what, 6 or 7 years old, where they announced one morning they weren't going to church. Do your kids ever do that? They're just not going to go with you? And it really was no question whether they were going. The question was in their mind. It wasn't ours. They were obviously going to go to church. Be thankful for parents that helped to keep you toward the Lord. And parents, can I say to you, don't spare for their crying. Don't spare for their whining. One day you'll be glad that you did. Let's look at Genesis chapter 12. We see a second thing that Abram had to be blessed for. Now the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. Well, the second thing we see, Abraham was thankful for a clear call of God. God was working his life. I dare say that we could infer that Terah probably had the same call, and he somewhat stepped to it, but he delayed. Now the call comes to this next generation, which is Abram. He says, Abram, come out of the Ur of Chaldees, come out of your own relatives and your family, and find God's will for your life. Step out, and the picture is, step out of the worldly flow and go into God's will. And so he was thankful, we could say, for a call to get out. Let's look at it a little closer, verse 2. He said, if you do, and I will make thee of thee a great nation, I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Boy, there's a lot. This is enough for about a couple sermons, but we're not going to do that today. Abraham, let's just sort of get 3 or 4 points. First of all, he was called to come out from worldliness. Dear Christians, if there's a call that needs to come to every Christian early in their Christian walk is, are you going to live for the world or are you going to live for Jesus? Terah hesitated. Abraham obeyed. And we ought to be thankful. Could I say, you ought to be thankful for ministries like Westside Baptist Church, and a lot of you have been saved at other churches away from here. Thank God for a call to live unto God. Called out from the ungodly lifestyle that we so easily, our own nature falls into. So he was called out. Then it says that he says, get thee out from thy kindred. And then he says, I want you to go into a land. Whenever you look at the land of Canaan, it's always the promised land. It's not salvation. It's always the picture of the blessings and living for Christ and prospering in what God wants you to do. Get out of carnality. Get out of fleshy Christianity. Get out of being this worldly kind. And I want you to get into a land, the land of Canaan, that flows with milk and honey and all the rest. So there was a clear call to get out and to come unto. And then that third verse was, there's a promise of blessing if you do. If you do, you'll be blessed. Your children will be blessed. And I can't help but emphasize the last part of verse 3. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Can I tell you, when you do God's will, it doesn't just bless you and your family, but all those that hook their wagons around you are drawn toward God. Amen? So he had a wonderful call to obey the Lord. Look, if you will, at verse 7 in this chapter. It just magnifies this. And the Lord appeared unto Abram, and he said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord, who appeared unto him. So he stopped, and he made a worship time with God. And he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west. And we go on and read this. And there he called on the name of the Lord. And so there he established his own personal worship with God. And Bethel means house of God. He got into the house of God. Christians, what a blessing to get into a good church where you can be fed and grow and be active. And this is what Abram sort of had. It was a place of worship. He was called out. He was called unto God's will. And there he established a worship altar. And there God met with him. Well, we could go through a lot of other things in his life, but go to chapter 13. We see a third blessing we could point out for Abram. And Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife, and all that he had. Now, Abram sort of took a little detour down into Egypt. He sort of got into his own self. But now he comes up out of Egypt, and he brought Lot with him in the south. And Abram, verse 2, this is what we want to see. Abram was very what? Rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. Verse 3. And he went on his journeys from south, even to Bethel, from the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Hai, under the place of the altar which he had made there at the first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. We could say Abraham could be thankful. Two things. God was blessing him personally, financially. You know, Christians, at Thanksgiving, it is just so appropriate for us to stop and say, God, thank you for my car. Thank you for my house. Thank you for the money I have in my bank. Thank you for these nice extra things that are all around my house. Do you know, most of us, we open some closets are so full, we can't get something else in to hang on the hanger. Shoes. Some of you ladies, you could open a shoe store. God has been so good to us, and he's blessed us. We go out in our garage. The car is supposed to be in there, but it's so full of the blessings. Amen? Come on. You know I'm talking right. God's been good to us, and he's blessed us, and it is appropriate. And Abraham could say, I've been over here in Egypt, but God has just made me very rich. And I'm not promising you that every time you do right, God's just going to load up your pockets. But God has been so abundantly good to us in taking care of our personal needs. He said, I will never suffer the righteous to beg bread. God takes care of his children. But then we find something else that he was thankful for. It just seems like Abram, we skipped over it, but he'd wandered down into Egypt, but God called him back to get on track. And where does he return to? Bethel. What is Bethel? House of God. He gets back in church. I was talking, the last 3 or 4 weeks, I've talked to different people. It says, you know, I was a young teacher. I'm a young teenager. I went to church. My parents took me to church. And then I came up and I got out and got my first job and got worker and I went to college. You name the story. And I didn't do so bad. Like I wasn't drugging or I wasn't drinking or I wasn't, you know, shooting people. But I wandered, but God brought me back to Bethel. God brought me home to search for him. And Abraham could say, praise God, I came back and God still meets with me at Bethel. Have you ever wandered from God? Say amen. Aren't you glad that God's still there when you come home? He said, what do I do if I've wandered from God? An old preacher I heard years ago, if you've wandered from God, just come back to where you left him. You'll find he's right there waiting for you. Just get back. And the first step in that is, in my opinion, get back into a good preaching church. And you're going to find God's ready right there to meet you. And he's not going to beat you down. He's just going to say, let's get up. Let's take care of the things in your life. Let's put the salve on the wound. Let's get the bandages. Let's get the crutches on there if you like. But let's get going forward again. And Abraham could say, praise God. God still wanted to use me. And so he had this blessing upon his house, material blessings beyond others around him. Look at verse, if you will, on verse 5, Genesis 13. And Lot also, which went with Abraham, flocks and herds and tents, and the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together. For their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. Can you see, not only was Abraham, anybody that had anything to do with Abraham was prospering. God was prospering Abraham in his obedience and following him. Look at chapter 13, verse 14. We're looking at the blessings that he had and things to be thankful for. Look at verse 14. And the Lord said unto Abraham, after that Lot, remember Lot chose to leave him and go to Sodom and Gomorrah, but Abraham chose the mountainous areas, and it was really sort of a very sacrificial thing. And the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art, look northward, southward, eastward, westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it. Wow. Sounds like that Texan we're talking about, doesn't it? I want you to stand up. I want you to look to the north. I want you to look over east. I want you to look down south. And I want you to look out west. And as far as you can see, it's all yours. That's a promise from God. So Abraham had this, the blessings of God given to him by faith. Did he have a deed in his hand?
No.
Did he know how it was become his? No. But did God say that if he would be obedient and serve him and do what was right and be perfect in his heart toward him, he said, it's yours. And over again, you find with the children of Israel, God so much potentially wants to bless his people in many different ways. But the key is an eye of faith. And God gave Abram that challenge of faith to keep his eye on him. And the blessings that will come your way are unbelievable, undescribable. Or as Jeremiah 33 says, call upon me and I will show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. And so Abram had all these promises. And we're still in chapter 14. I want you to see in verse 6. Chapter 13, verse 15. All the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed, that's his babies, his children, his all his family downstream, great, great downstream, as the dust of the earth. How much dust is there on the earth? How much little particles are there? Can you count them? No. We have a few of you that have allergies. Sometimes when you ever see in a room and you see the light streaming in and you see all the dust, somebody's sweeping the floor and you're going, ooh. You ever see all that dust in there? Thousands of particles. You go out here on down to Galveston, you look at the sands on the seashore. Man, could you imagine just trying to count all that up? And yet, this is the image of what Abram's future was going to be. It was going to be indescribable by faith. Look again, I will make thy seed as the dust of the sea, earth, so that if any man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Look at verse 17. Here was the key. This was a blessing to me in going back and studying it this week. Arise, walk through the land in the length of it, in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. He said, I want you to get up, and I want you to walk as far as you can north. I want you to go east. I want you to go south. I want you to walk all. And you know what this reminded me? I'm teaching one of my classes and the idea of Joshua, and they're told every place that you place your foot will be yours. Here's Abraham, generations before, promised by God that all this eventually will be your seeds. Now go out and walk it. When my wife and I, we were getting ready to buy this property as a church. We, for a year and a half before that, we drove all over Katy, all over Bear Creek. Where is our church going to move from Spring Branch? We looked at this, we looked at everywhere, and God had shown in our hearts that our church was to move west. We didn't know where it was. We had no idea it'd be way out here to Katy, 14 miles away. But we drove, and my wife came back one day excited. She'd gone out here near where Penny's is on the Grand Parkway, and just down from it, there's something called West Side Boulevard. She said, maybe that's the place we're supposed to move. They've already named the street, West Side Boulevard. I said, well, that'll be something. That's a commercial subdivision. I don't think so. And finally one day our real estate agent called us up and they said, Pastor Butts, we found a place, they're having a quick sale and there's all other bids, you need to get a bid in right now. And we bid on this property, and I can remember the bid was in and we were waiting and we came out and looked at the property, but it wasn't when anybody was showing us. We came out at night and we walked to the back, and we walked out to the fence line, and we walked out here, and there was no blinds on the windows. And we looked in the windows, and we said, can you imagine this would be our church? It was just around Thanksgiving, Christmas was just coming, and they had all the Christmas decorations up, and they had a sign out front, which we didn't have, and they had 10 acres, and we came from a half acre of a house. And we were, can you imagine? And we walked it. And my wife and went back home. And then we got the bid on the property and we were arranging to buy it. And I can remember reading where it says they took Jericho and that Joshua went out and he walked around the city every day, once every day for a week. And on the seventh day, he walked around it seven times, blew the trumpet and shouted and the walls came down. So without anybody knowing it, I came out and I walked around the property. Every day I said, God, could this really be ours? Could this really be ours? Walked around one day, another day. And the seventh, I was tired by the time I got around that seventh day. I didn't shout, but I got on my knees and I said, God, can you make it come to pass? And it seemed like at that point, all of a sudden, everything stopped. And it seemed like we weren't going to get the loan and things weren't going to happen. The real estate agent called up and said, everything's done. 2 weeks later, the property was ours, and we moved in just a few weeks later. That's unbelievable to me. Maybe not to you, but to see what God could do on a limited basis is just 10 acres. Can I tell you that Abram was told to walk to the north, to the east, to the south, and to the west, and just walk like you own it. What a blessing to know that our God is capable to do the impossible. And it may be in your life that God's called you to some things in your life, and it seems like, how could that ever be? But Abraham had a blessing promise. The key was, though, he had to believe God. He had to believe God. The problem was never on God's side. Terah could have been on this blessing if he hadn't been named Mr. Delay. But Abram now is taking God as blessing. And look in Genesis chapter 14, please. Genesis chapter 14, verse 17. Right in the middle of all these promises, I want you to see something that it speaks to my heart, at least. Do you remember how Lot, all the kings came down and the enemies took Lot and all the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah and they rushed them off. And Abraham came and he rescued his nephew with his servants. And now they're returning Lot and they're back to their cities and they're giving them their substance back. But right in the middle of that, look at verse 17, the king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter. Look at verse 18. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, that represents Jesus Christ, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be the Most High God, which delivered thine enemies into thy hand. And what did he do next? He gave tithes of all. Do you know what a blessing that Abraham learned to give God what was his. Christians, there may be some of you here that are still learning that the first part of our increase belongs to God. It didn't belong to us. Somewhere in Abram's life, maybe it was his father Nahor, I don't know, but when this all got said and done, he took of this battle and all these spoils, and usually when you go into battle, the spoils, you keep it to yourself. Actually, Abraham was going to give it back because he didn't want Lot, that worldly nephew of his, to think that he was getting rich off of him. But he said, you know what, there's some part that doesn't belong to me to give back to you. That first part belongs to God. Some of you have learned, maybe even in this last year or two, that you can't outgive God. If you haven't learned that, I'm not trying to build a new building or get our offerings up. God's been good to our church. But can I say to you, what a blessing to learn that God blesses his people when they're obedient to him in giving. So Abram had learned that somewhere along the line. Let me turn my page here. Turn, if you will, chapter 15, please. Now, there's only one problem that Abram has. He's promised to be this father of all these sands of the sea, the stars in the sky. You're going to have so many great, great, great grandchildren. You can't ever number them, how much I'm going to bless you. But our problem is found in Genesis 15:1. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, "Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." And Abram said, "Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go," what's the next word? Childless. He didn't have any children. You're promising me all these descendants. How about the first one? I don't have any baby. My wife is barren. How can I have all these great, 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 great promises in the future? And I haven't got this first child. So he looks at a worldly way of fulfilling God's promise. In a sense, we would say, do you want me to adopt? And that's basically what he's going to do. He's going to take a servant that was born into his servants, and he's raised up to be his most trusted servant. And he said, this is going to be like my adopted son, and his name is Eliezer. He said, is this who you want? Let's just read it. He said, Lord God, wilt thou give me, seeing I'm go childless, and the servant of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, behold, to me thou hast given me no seed. And lo, one born in my house is my only heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto Abram, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels, we say your own body, shall be thine heir. And he brought forth abroad, and he looked toward the heaven, and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. So he's given him two promises. You'll be like the sands of the sea, the dust of the earth. And now he says, if you can count the stars in heaven, you can count your, you know, have you ever studied how many stars are out there? And every time that they get a new telescope, they find there's millions and millions more. He said, I'm doubling up on my promise. It's not going to be through some adoption. You're going to have your own real baby. His wife is, verse 6 is one of the greatest verses in the book of Genesis. Circle it, put a big star beside it. And he, Abraham, believed in the Lord, and he, God, counted it to him, Abram, for what? Righteousness. When you go into the New Testament and they explain why Abram is such a father to so many nations, and in his seed would eventually be Jesus Christ. And in thee shall all the nations of the world be blessed. And yet he's childless. He said, don't worry about it. I am God. And Abraham said, I believe you. And it was counted to him for righteousness. Do you know, sometimes we come to things in our life and God has called us, assured us to go in a direction. We know what's right to do. And we say, but how can that be? It is impossible. But he believed in the Lord. And it was counted for righteousness. Can I say to you, Christian, the greatest thing in your life is to learn to believe the Lord and not to doubt his promises. If God be for us, who can be against us? With God, all things are possible. And that's exactly what we find happens in this passage of Scripture. Look at chapter 15, please, with me, verse 6, where we saw that. You know, Genesis 16, we think that Abraham was this perfect man, but he wasn't a perfect man. His first reaction was, I would have to adopt a child. Do you know what his wife's reaction was, second of all, and Abram sort of fell into it? he said, well, maybe we're going to have to follow a custom of the world. And my wife has a servant girl, a handmaiden named Hagar. And in the world, if I produce a baby through Hagar, then she'll act, that baby will be counted as Sarah's technical child. And that's who's going to be the heir of my children. But you know what? If you read through that, you're going to find out that Ishmael was not God's plan. Eliezer was not God's plan. Matter of fact, Ishmael being born, this baby through Hagar, becomes the father of what we know as the Arabs today. And they become the enemy of God's seed. When we try to do it our own way, it always messes up. When we try to do it our own way, we're not going to find God's will. Abraham was struggling with this. Yes, he believed, but sometimes his faith wavered. Does your faith waver? Huh. Does your faith, one day, when the preacher's preaching, you're reading the Bible, boy, it's going to happen. And then you get home. And your faith goes just like that sideways. And this is what happened with Abraham a little bit, and yet God blesses him. Look at chapter 17. We find that God reaffirms his blessing. I'm just going to read through verses real quickly. The clock is ticking, not here, in this book, okay? The clock is ticking. And what do we find out in verse 1? And Abraham was 90 years old and 9. So how old is he? Can you imagine? You're 99 years old. And you say, I'm still going to have a baby. You say, yeah, right. I'll pick on Dr. Hodges. He turned 90 this year. Can you imagine Dr. Hodges getting up and said, there's one more in me. You'd say, okay. 99. Sarah's in her late 80s. She's childless. And God reaffirms his promise. Look, if you will, at verse 1. And Abraham was 99, and the Lord appeared to Abraham and said unto him, I am, notice the name of God is always changed to be appropriate for the need. I am the what? Almighty God. Is our God able to take care of any need? Is he omnipotent? I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And that idea is don't vary. The idea of perfect doesn't mean it doesn't make an ever mistake. But you just keep your eye on me and do what I said and watch Almighty God. Look at verse 2. And I will make my covenant between me and thee, and I will multiply thy seed exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face and talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant was with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be Abram, which means great father, but thy name shall be Abraham, which means father of many nations. For a father of many nations have I made thee. And I will make thee exceeding fruitful. I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee and the generations. How long? For an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. And I, on top of that, I will give unto thee and to thy seed, your children's, the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be what? Their God. Boy, Abraham has a lot to be thankful for. How God has reaffirmed his blessing. And so then in verse 9, Abraham says to Abraham, thou shalt keep my covenant, be perfect toward it, therefore thou and thy seed after thee in their generations. And this is my covenant which ye shall keep between me and you, and thy seed after thee, every man child, every male child among you shall be circumcised. You know what circumcision is? Circumcision, it's a sign of faith and obedience. That child, 8 days old, that baby comes out, you are declared that child, and the promises of God are upon your generation. Circumcise that child. And so it doubles up on the blessings to do the impossible. Turn with me, please, if you will, chapter 18. Now it comes where Lot is getting ready to be destroyed, all Sodom and Gomorrah, and the angels visit Abraham and say, we're getting ready to destroy. And he dickers with the angels if there's 50 righteous, if there's down to there's just a handful of righteous people. But that same angel speaks in this chapter, and he speaks to Sarah. And I want you to see what he does. Look at verse 10. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee, looking at Sarah, according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. So how long is the time of life? How long does it take to have a baby? 9 months. I'm glad. There you go. All right. So I'll be back in the time of life. I'll be back in the birth cycle. I'll come back, and before you know it, you're going to have a baby. We're almost here. Sarah, I'll be back 9 months in the time of life, and you will have a baby. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. And Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Now, I'm not going to get too descriptive, but ladies go through change of life. Men, if your wife hasn't had that, God bless you. I'll be praying for you. Okay. That's a challenging time for women. Sarah had obviously gone through where she was no longer going through her cycles and all the rest. It's long past. She wasn't just old. Her machinery was shut down. For her to have a baby is doubly impossible. So I want you to see what happened. Abraham, verse 11, now Abraham were old, well stricken, verse 11, in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore, Sarah, what? Laughed within herself. You're going to have a baby, and it's going to be, I'll be back here in 9 months, and they're going to have a baby. And she goes, yeah, like that's going to happen to me. Yeah, I don't think so. You can count that as doubt, shock, I don't know what it is. But then he turns to her and he says in verse 13, and the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child when I'm old? And I want you to see verse 14. I have this circled in my Bible right next to the other verse I told you to circle. Is anything too hard for the Lord? What's the answer? By faith, right? Abraham believed God, and it was right, counted to him for righteousness. Now his wife, when she hears the same promises with her own ears, she goes, what? And she tries to deny that. She laughed. But when God calls us to go forward and do some things, do not say, are you looking at me when you say that? I don't think it's me you're talking to. Sarah pictures a lot of us, amen? But is there anything too hard for God? No, there's not. As a result, we're not going to study the scripture out. When they do have a baby, you know what his name is? In the Hebrew, it's Isaac. But in English, his name was Laughter. Come over here, Laughter. And every time she said, come here, Isaac, she was saying, come here, the one I laughed that thought never would happen. Isn't that amazing? To think what God can do. Abraham had a lot to be thankful for. He's going to have a child. It's going to be born. And we look, if you will, please, at verse chapter 21, verse 1 through 8. It's his birth of that baby. There's so much more. I'm just giving the highlights. Abraham's fully blessed. You know, we can be too. God wants to take us into Canaan land, do all these things. Verse 1 of 22, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham. And so, I'm sorry, I skipped over. Chapter 21, verse 1. And Sarah, the Lord visited Sarah as he had said. And the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. In other words, he gave her a baby. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age at the time set of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son which was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Laughter, Isaac. Look at verse 4, though. What do you do? And Abraham circumcised his son. Was he told to do that? Was Abraham not only a man of faith, he was a man of obedience. Could we had a better song for the choir to sing today? Trust and obey. Verse 5, and Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. And Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh, so that all that hear will laugh with me. And she said, who would have said unto Abraham that Sarah should have given a child suck? What do you mean by that? Who would think that Sarah would be nursing? What? That old lady's nursing? And the child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast in the same day that was Isaac was weaned. And so God is blessing. Now, I want you to see chapter 22. We're getting close to be finished with the blessings, but look at him. And it came to pass after, verse 1, these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him, Isaac, there for a burnt sacrifice offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell of thee. And Abraham rose up early in the morning. I'm going to stop there and just read on for us, tell it. Abraham was so glad to have a son. Now he's weaned. He's his only son. This is my son of promise. And God said, I want you to take that son, your only son, and I want you to take him to a mountain. I'll show you out here in Moriah. I want you to go up on the top of Mount Moriah, and there I want you to make an altar with the stones. And he took Isaac with him, and they put wood, and they got the fire ready to go. And look at verse 7. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father! And he said, here I am, my son. And he said, behold, there's the fire, and there's the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And you know, his father deflects. He said, the Lord will provide. The Lord will provide. So pretty soon he said, hey, Isaac, lay down on the altar. Why? Just do it. He tied his hands and he tied his feet. He got the fire and everything all ready to go. And he takes his knife out. Can you imagine doing this to your only son? It's a miracle. You're 100 years old. Now you're 100 and some years old. And now God says, give that boy back to me. And he raised up that knife. And he's just as he's getting ready to strike, he hears a voice speak out to him from an angel. Stop. God will provide. And he hears a rustling in over here in the bushes. And here is a ram caught with its horns in the thicket. And it's brought out. And God says, this is my lamb. And he says, now I know of a surety that thou truly fearest me. Abraham was purified and grown by the Lord. And you know, we've got to just stop and give this. God gave his only begotten son for us. And God has provided. The name of this place is going to be called Jehovah Jireh. God provides. Can I say to you, if you've learned nothing else at all here at Westside Baptist Church from this Bible, God has provided a way for you to have your sins paid for. The truth is, we all should have to die on the altar of judgment and go to an eternity in hell. That's what the Bible teaches. The wages of our sin is death. But hold on. Maybe that's the angel. Maybe that's the preacher today saying, God has provided. And look at the Lamb of God. Jesus, God's perfect Lamb, a male of the womb without spot or blemish, has been provided by God's heavenly, by our heavenly Father, his only begotten Son, and he has taken our place on the cross. If we have nothing else to be thankful for at this Thanksgiving, God has saved our soul. Perhaps you're here this morning, you say, Pastor, I haven't really settled that I'm one of God's children. Just like God provided for Abraham, God has provided. And he made it wide enough to say this in Romans 10:13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. See, what's saved? Rescued from the punishment and the penalty of death and sin and hell. And the Bible uses another term. At that moment when we place our faith in God's perfect sacrifice, we are born into God's family. In John 1:12, it says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Abraham had a lot to be thankful for. Look at all the things that God had done. And when this is all done and said, he has his wife pass away and his son seems to be so lonely. He sends him back into the far country and he has a bride brought back for her. And we know what a blessing she was. And if you take in typology, this is a picture of how God is bringing the church to his son, Jesus. God is calling forth a bride to himself. Do you know God is calling in a service like this? He's called wherever Jesus is preached. He's calling people unto his son to be part of his family. But it's your choice. What will you do with the Lord? Abraham. Here we have Adam and Eve. We have all the things with Noah. And now it seems like things were going not so good because of Babel, the Tower of Babel. But here's this righteous group through Terah, almost obedient, but Abraham steps out and he becomes the father of many nations. And through his seed, not S seeds, through his descendants will come the seed, which is Jesus Christ, which will bless all nations of the earth. Where did all this start? A man of obedience. And it was counted unto him for righteousness. He said, well, that's a wonderful thing, and I understand it. I'm a Christian. I believe all that. Just think how you could be blessed if you believed like Abraham. If you'd obey when he speaks out. Well, we're going to take three more characters that are just like Abraham in the Bible, and we're going to go into their lives and see how they were blessed and what they had to be thankful and how we can learn from Abraham. We learn nothing's too hard for God. God will provide, and that God cares, and God keeps his promises, and God's hand is active. And when we think that it's absolutely impossible at 100 years old, the Almighty God is capable. Amen. Let's bow our heads, please. Heavenly Father, I pray today that if there's someone here that has come to a large place in their life that they've wondered and doubted about, may today hearing of Abraham's overcoming faith, of his absolute trust and his obedience and how it brought blessings upon him and his seed after him, even to this day, may we, Father, seek to have that same kind of blessing by obedience and trust. Father, I pray if there's somebody here that doesn't yet believe in Jesus as their Savior, may they realize that seed, Jesus on the cross dying for them, is God's promise of eternal life. If they'll let Jesus be their Savior, if they'll trust in him, they can be blessed too and be saved. In Jesus' name. With our heads bowed, how many here can say, Pastor, there's no doubt in my heart